Thank you, Preston. I thought if he gave me a good introduction, why, I'd pay him for it tomorrow. So you think that was a pretty good one? Okay. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see this good crowd, Wednesday night crowd. We want to be praying especially for our pastor and revival this week. Remember, when you can think of him, to pray for him that God will bless and use him there. And okay, turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Like on Wednesday night, sometimes you don't know how much time you're going to have. I appreciate the time that I have here. Sometimes you have to cut your message. Remind me of a joke. There was a pastor that cut himself shaving one morning before church and getting ready to come, and he had to put a Band-Aid on it, and he came, and he preached long and loud, and he dismissed and was shaking hands out at the door. And a lady asked him, "What happened to your face?" And he said, "Well, I was concentrating on my sermon this morning and cut my face." She said, "You should have been concentrating on your shaving and cut your sermon." So maybe I won't have to cut my sermon tonight. I've been concentrating, but I didn't do it while I was shaving. Okay, let's look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Now this second epistle, beloved, "Now write I unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Now Peter's writing here that there's times we've heard the Bible preached, we've taught the Bible, we've studied the Bible and had it preached to us, but there's times when we need the same, some of the things that we're familiar with, we need to be stirred again. "Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets." That's throughout the entire Bible. "And the commandment of us the apostles," that's the New Testament, "of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were before the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of." Now notice that they willingly are ignorant. They have chosen to be that way. "By the word of God, the heavens were of old." Now, the great minds of around the world today, they don't believe this book. They don't believe where this world came from, and the planets and all the things out beyond the skies. And they're sending all these space trips up there to try to find out where it came from. They're willingly ignorant of where it came from. "Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant." Now they are willingly ignorant, but God wants us, his children, not to be ignorant of this one thing, that the day, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, time is not essential to God, because God is eternal. "Now, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Now, it's not slackness because they scoff because the Lord hasn't come. They say, they've been saying that all down through the ages, and he hasn't come. And they say, well, he's not going to come. "But the Lord has not come, not because of slackness, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering." It's God's mercy to these same scoffers that he hasn't come yet. "But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish," that not even they should perish, "but should all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, we that believe. Now folks, one day everything you see here tonight is going to be melt. It's going to melt with fervent heat. It's going to be burned up. These scoffers, everything that they ever have or ever hope to have will be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your love, your blessings. We thank you for the blessings of the past. And Lord, but we're asking you for blessings in the future. And Lord, we just ask you to help us tonight as we bring the message we feel you put on our heart. And Lord, just ask you to anoint us as we preach your word tonight. Pray for our pastor as he's preaching up there tonight, Lord, that you'll anoint him. And then tomorrow night, Lord, and Friday night, God, that you'll just bless and use him there in a great way. Give him safety as he travels. And Lord, we thank you for our pastor, the man of God that you sent us. And thank you for how you've blessed his ministry. And God, we just ask you to continue to do that. We thank you, Lord, for this church and what it's meant in our lives. And God, we just give you the praise and the honor and glory. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for those precious souls saved Sunday. And now, Lord, we just ask you to help them to keep on keeping on for Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you tonight on verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, the key to get us to do things is motivation. I think that what I've observed and heard, I believe the Eastman does that. You got the men, got to get the men motivated, haven't you? And so we also need to be motivated. The key to get us to do is motivation. And now, the Eastman uses that. Now, this is just what from I've heard about the place. God uses this in the book for us. Motivation. And if we can get motivated, we can do things for God. Now, so we read here they're scoffers, verse 3 and 4, knowing first that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Now, when will the Lord come? He hasn't come. When will the Lord come? Now, he will come. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if I go away, I will come again. So he is coming. The angels in chapter 1, verse 11 of Acts, two angels appeared in white apparel and said, this same Jesus that ye see taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Jesus is coming back. Jesus will come again. It don't matter what the scoffers say, he is coming again. Now, there are two phases of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, one of them is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We'll start in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, because we talked about this in 2 Peter. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One day, folks, the trumpets, I was thinking about this. I like sometimes to go down to my mother and dad's grave down at McCarty Cemetery. And my dad got saved in the chicken house. Now, he asked the Lord to forgive him his sins and save him. And my mother, I went down one day, and she is reading the Sword of the Lord that I'd subscribed for her. And she had a sermon by R.A. Torrey. I said, I want to show you this. And she showed me that. And then she said, I want you to show you this. And at the end of that sermon, Dr. Rice had put an invitation. And Mama said, I did what Dr. Rice said to do there. So I believe one day I'll see my mom and daddy in heaven. I have that hope. And if someday I'm standing there, sometimes I've come by, I just stop and go up. And if the Lord's one day, if I'm standing there, the trumpet of God shall sound. And the Lord himself shall shout through the voice of the archangel. And he will say, come up the redeemed. Their new body is going to come out of that grave. And I believe as they get even with me, my old body is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord forever. Now this is the first phase of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called the rapture. Now, Revelation 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, that's the first phase. Now, the second phase of the rapture, of the coming of Christ, is the revelation. Now, that his coming on a white horse. Then there will be the battle of Armageddon. Then, I like this, one angel is going to come down and bind Satan and cast him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then Christ is going to sit on King David's throne for 1,000 years. Then Satan will be loosed. And he'll gather up an army against God's people. And God's going to consume them. Then, 2 Peter 3:10. And all this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when all which in the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, when's that going to take place? We won't turn to it, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, now the scoffers say it's not going to happen. But 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2 says, but the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Now Jesus said in Mark 13, 31, 32, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son of Man, neither the Son, but the Father. No man, Jesus said, knows. Now, his coming, now they write books on that, and I don't worry about that day that they say he's coming, because he's not going to come on that day. If a thief would write a book and tell you when he's going to rob your house, he wouldn't get to rob it, would he? God said Jesus is coming. That day, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. That day is coming as a thief in the night come. Now, so there will be the rapture. The saved will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And on earth, the tribulation spoken of in Revelation is going to take place. Then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then all things are going to be dissolved. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be, or ought we to be? Seeing, now that ought to motivate us. Seeing that the Lord is coming. Seeing that everything that we see, this church building, the parking lot, the automobiles, everything that we can see in this universe is going to be dissolved one day. And what kind of person ought we to be? Now, some of the things we ought to be, I've made a list of them here. Now, one thing, you ought to be saved. Seeing all these things are going to be dissolved. You here tonight, if you're not saved, you ought to be saved. You ought to be saved because, folks, just as sure as we are here tonight, that's going to happen. All these things are going to be dissolved. Now, and God said, He's not, verse 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge in God. Now, and let's turn right over to Revelation 20, verse 11. Now, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Because one day, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face in the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. One day, hell's going to give up the dead that are in them. The sea's going to give up the dead that are in them. And all this, all that we can see is going to melt with fervent heat. And people can run from God today, they can hide from God today, but then they'll have no place to go but to the great white throne judgment. Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? You ought to be born again. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you ought to be born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Then 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith, except you be reprobates. Are you saved tonight? Are you born again? Are you a child of God on your way to heaven? Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be? Okay, now we ought to be soul winners. Seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved, it ought to motivate us to be soul winners, or at least concerned about lost souls. Now, all are lost. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And lost people go to hell. Now, the desire of God is that we be soul winners. In Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. I remember when I was pastor at Open Door, they came and asked me to go visit a fella. And now they told me, said, he's mental. Yeah. But we'd like for you to go talk to him and see if you could get him saved. So I went to visit this person. I couldn't get anywhere with him. He just wasn't in the same conversation I was in. And I thought, well, I'll go. I'm wasting my time. And God spoke to me through this verse. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. And I stopped. I said, this is a creature. God wants me to preach the gospel to him. I got my testament out and went down the Romans road with him. I don't think he ever understood a thing or anything, but I obeyed God. That's why God sent me there that day. So seeing all these things are going to be dissolved, we ought to be soul winners. Now, God's plan in Psalms 126:5-6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Seeing all these things are going to be dissolved, it ought to motivate us to weep and shed tears for the lost and be concerned about the lost. Then, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful to God in our living for God. Now, God gives us some motivation for that, boy. He does, all through this book. Now, let me just give you one. Psalms 37:3, that's one of my favorite verses. trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, let's get deep in that. Let's get the Hebrew. What does trust in the Lord? In the Hebrew, what does that mean? Get saved. And do good. In the Hebrew, what does that mean? Live right. I don't know the Hebrews and the Greeks. I used to know a little Hebrew at run a restaurant, and a Hebrew at run a grocery store, and a Greek at run a restaurant. But trust in the Lord. Let's get saved. Do good. That's live right. And then God gives us a little motivation there. And thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. That is, God will give you somewhere to live and feeds you. That's important, isn't it? That ought to motivate us to live right. Get saved and live right, folks, and you'll always have somewhere to live and something to eat. God said it. Okay, then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, that's I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seeing all these things are going to be dissolved one day, we ought to live right before God. We ought to have a desire in our heart to live right before God. Then, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, we ought to be faithful in the house of God and to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25 says, neglect not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and even more so as you see the day approaching. So we should be faithful. That should motivate us to be faithful to the house of God. Then that should motivate us to be faithful to the work of God. Oh, listen, I don't care what you do for God or what I do or what we do for God, we need to be faithful in it. Teachers, we need to be faithful in our teaching and every area. Bus workers, we need to be, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, we need to be faithful in our bus work. And deacons, choir members, ushers, all this is the work of parking lot attendants. Seeing all these things should be dissolved, we ought to be faithful in what our work for God. Then, we ought to be faithful in our giving to God. We ought to be faithful in our giving to God. Maybe we ought to have a lesson on tithing tonight. Now, when I got saved, I thank God. I was thinking about that today, and I tried to call that pastor. I thank God he taught me to tithe. He taught me the Bible, tithing in the Bible. Now, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, we ought to be faithful in our giving to God. Now, let me just give you a few verses of scriptures here. Where does it teach tithing in the Bible, or giving, that we ought to be faithful in? Now, we won't turn to these, but you want to jot the scriptures down on these. Genesis 14:20, Abraham started it, and he gave tithes of all he had. Now, then, it was under the law. Moses, in Leviticus 27:30, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. Then, so there it is, before the law, under the law, and Jesus approved it. Jesus approved it. In Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Said you pay tithe of every little thing, every little jot, every little tittle, but you leave off the most important things. Now, then he said, these you ought to have done. You ought to have done these important things and not to leave the other undone. So Jesus approved tithing, didn't he? And it's a New Testament church teaching, church age teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store." That's on Sunday, isn't it? On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. God, Paul says, on the first day of the week, you New Testament people are to lay by you in store as God has prospered you. He doesn't mention how much to give here, does he? So I guess what we're going to have to do is go back through the Bible and see if it's mentioned anywhere. Now, so we'll check the Bible on the percentage. It says lay by you in store. It's supposed to give in proportion, I believe what Paul said, in proportion to what God has blessed you with. So, well, we check on Abraham, a tithe. Now, they tell me, Bible scholars tell me, that's 10%. Then about Moses, tithe, there's 10%. Then Jesus, he said tithe, that's 10%. Don't leave me now. Just hang in there. I'm coming to the good part now. Don't leave me. Do you mean a millionaire? Do you mean on a million you give $100,000? That's what the book said. You make $1 million, you give $100,000. And God will, I promise you this, your 100,000 will go, your 90,000 will go further than the 100,000 will. Okay? Do you mean that little old widow lady that draws a $375 Social Security check? Do you mean she should give $37.50? That's what the book said. And her $337.50 will go farther than the $375. I promise you that. Now, do you trust God? Will you trust God? And two, that $37.50 of the little old widow in the sight of God is as much as the $100,000 that the millionaire gives. Because the poor widow woman tossed two mites in the treasury. Jesus said she'd give more than all the millionaires that had come in there that day. Can you trust God? Now, in 2 Kings, we won't turn to that, but 2 Kings 17, 15 and 16, God sent Elijah over to this poor widow's house and says, she's going to feed you. He got there, and he told her what he wanted, and she said, all I've got is a little handful of meal and a little cruse of oil, and my son and I are going to eat it and die. I was going to feed it to him. Now, God sent Elijah over, didn't he? This was God telling that widow woman to do that through Elijah. Elijah said, make me a little cake first. Boy, that's a selfish old prophet. The poor old widow got enough for one little cake for her little boy and herself, and they're going to eat. That's all they got, and he wants it. Man. But Elijah said, make me a little cake first. And the meal and the cruse of all won't run out till the drought's over. She did. And it didn't run out. Could she trust God? Can we trust God? It's the same Lord that fed that little old widow woman can take care of the little widow woman with a $375 check and take care of the millionaire with his $100,000 that he gives. Now, I believe according to this book, God wants us to tithe. You mean he wants our money? That's not the real reason. That's not the real reason. Stay with me now. It's getting better. Don't leave me. Why does God want us to tithe? So he can bless us. So he can bless us. That's it. Now, if I understand this book, I've read it, I've preached it, I've heard it taught, I've heard it preached for 31 years. And I believe that this book teaches that God loves his people. And God wants to bless his people. And it's through this that he can. It's what I've covered here, through living right, getting saved, living right, living for God. And tithing is a part of that. Now, I'm glad my pastor, Pastor Preacher Huff, taught me it's scriptural to tithe. And then he gave his testimony of how God blessed him. And I was going to call him Danny, and he wasn't home, and tell him what a blessing that had been to me down through these years. God, he taught me to tithe, and God has supplied my needs down through the years. Now, when I first got saved, I told my Sunday school class about this Sunday, I want to do something for God. And I put a check, I don't remember how it was, it couldn't have been a big check on what I was making then. But I put a check in Sunday school class. I didn't know anything about tithing. I just wanted to give something to God. And this fellow came to me and said, "Did you make a mistake?" And I said, No, I want to give that to the Lord." "Well, you shouldn't have put it in down here. You should have put it up in the big offering upstairs." I said, "Well, you put it wherever you want to. I'm just going to give it to God." Now, I didn't know anything about tithing. Now, my dad, bless his heart, I think he is scriptural in his giving, because he didn't let his left hand know what his right hand was doing. He'd put his hand down in his pocket and feel around over what change he had in his pocket. And I don't know if he was feeling how big it was or what it was. Or then he'd get some coins out and offer them. Ling, 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 ling. And he'd drop it in. That's all I knew about giving. And then Pastor Huff came and he taught about tithing. And then, do you know what? The old devil tricked me one day. God was a blessing. Well, this is before I'd heard about tithing, before I knew about tithing. I was given to God. And God was blessing me. I had a pretty new car. It's almost new car, let me put it that way. And had a little savings account going in a new home. And my daddy was sick, and I was helping him. The Lord was a blessing me. I didn't know about tithing, but I was given. And the old devil whispered something in my ear. He said, "If you didn't put so much money in that church out there, you could help your daddy more." Well, I'd help his daddy if he's sick, shouldn't he? That sounded good. And he threw it in a little, motivated me a little bit. And you could put more in that savings account, too. So I listened to him. First thing I knew, I couldn't help my daddy anymore. Next thing I knew, my savings account was gone. Next thing I knew, you know, you don't make your car payments, what's happened? You get a letter from a bank. Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I'll never forget, I sat down in my living room on Sylvan Drive. I had my bills laid out there. I couldn't meet all my bills. I'd just pick out some and pay them and have to let the rest go. And listen, if anybody wrote me a dirty letter, that's the one I let go. But I sat down in my living room there that night. And I had said, I'm going to start giving to the Lord. When I get caught, I get these bills straightened out, I'm going to start giving to the Lord again. But I kept getting further behind. And I sat down there one night and I thought, oh, I've got to do something. I know what I'll do. I'm going to put God's money out here. I'm going to give it to him first. And then I'm going to put my grocery money over here. See where my priorities are. Put my grocery money over here. And then I'm going to put my house payment here. And then I'm going to pay on some bills. And there's not a mathematician in the world could work that out. I got them all paid that week and had a little change to rattle around in my pocket work that week. And then Pastor Huff came and taught tithing. When I heard about it, I wanted to tithe. I said, "How do you do that?" They said, "When you get your check, put 10% of it in the offering." Well, I did. And then I went to hear an evangelist preach one night. And he said, "You're supposed to put in the total amount, 10% of the total amount." That hurts. But I got to thinking, now God has blessed me for what I have been given. I'll give him more, and he'll bless me more. Now, why did Paul want us to tithe? In Philippians 4:17, he gives us another little idea about it. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. God wanted me to tithe for my benefit. He wants you to tithe for your benefit. Now, the Philippians were his spiritual children. He'd won them to Jesus, and he wanted God's blessing on them. That's why he wanted to tithe. Now, God doesn't need our gifts. All of it's his anyway. We won't turn to it and read. Sometime now and go home and not read Psalms 51 through 15. He says it's all mine anyway. He told him they was offered him sacrifice. He said, I don't really want that for myself. If I was hungry, I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I don't need that. He wanted them the sacrifices for their benefit, and that's what he's wanting of us. Now I haven't got rich. But God, I could stand here all night. I won't do it, but I could stand here all night and tell you how God has met my needs down through these years. I'll tell you about one or two. Let me tell you about two. I didn't know we didn't have any meat for supper one Friday night. I was working second shift, I believe, at Clopton Mills. And I didn't know we wasn't going to have any meat for supper. And that wouldn't have been bad, would it? A lot of other stuff to eat. And the lady next door come over and says, look, said I cleaned my freezer out and I got a piece of steak here. It's going to spoil. Could you all use that? We could. And then one morning I was coming in. I always ate 2 eggs for breakfast when I was on graveyard. And I come in and my wife had run out of eggs. And we got some in the store, but I was going to be out that morning. Lady across the street had never been over our house. And she come running over with 12 eggs. Said, lady down in the country gave me some eggs and these are going to spoil. Can you use them? And I can tell you story after story down through the years how God has miraculously, sometimes and supernaturally, met my needs. Now, God doesn't say it. He'll make you rich. Now, I heard a fellow on the radio not too long after I got saved. Now, I'm an old country boy from down at Bowmantown. Never was too good in math, but I figured this one out pretty quick. I heard a preacher on the radio say, I've cut my coat up in 1-inch squares. And if you'll send me $100, you'll get rich. Now, it didn't take me long to figure that out. Who was going to get rich? Now, and I'm not tithing to get rich. God wants me to tithe so he can bless me, and he has, and he's supplied all of my need. Now, and the old devil will lie to you. He lied to me once. I sold my house once. God wanted me to go. Now listen, you've got to go God's way if he's going to meet your needs and supply your need. God wanted me to go to Bible college. Now you all never would have known I'd gone if I hadn't told you about it. That's one reason I brought this out tonight. But God wanted me to go, and I quit my job. I'd worked at for 18 years. I sold my home, and I went to work one night. And the old devil was over there. And my friends, my family said, you're crazy. Give up your retirement and your job. You've worked there so long, you'll never get laid off. You're crazy to give that up and just go out and get a new job. You'll get laid off and your family will starve. My fellows I work with told me the same thing. And the devil told me that night. He said, you're going to get up there and get laid off and you don't know nobody up there in that strange town. What's your wife and kids going to do? And I was working there. And this verse of scripture came to me, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, I had my New Testament with me. I like tore that thing apart at break trying to find it. I knew that was in the Bible, but I couldn't find it. So lunchtime come. I wasn't interested in eating. I was looking, trying to find it. Surely that's in the Bible. Well, I got home the next morning. I looked in the concordance, and I couldn't find it. And I walked by my desk, and Dr. Rice, bless his heart, I wrote him a letter, told him what I was going to do. And because I'd read it in the Sword of the Lord about Midwestern Bible College, and he wrote me a letter back and said, God impressed me to give you this verse of scripture, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. And I've hung on to that ever since. And he has. But my God shall supply all your need. Trust in the Lord. Get saved. Do good. Live right. And thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Okay? So, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? We ought to be faithful. Faithful in our living. Faithful to the house of God. Faithful in our work to the Lord. Faithful in our giving. Faithful in reading the Word of God. Then, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what kind of persons ought we to be? We ought to be praying people. And I don't think I can emphasize this too much. We ought to be praying people. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Listen, folks, God is blessing Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's presence is meeting with us here. But let's don't be at ease in Zion. Let's don't let up. God is with us in a wonderful way here, but we can't let up on our praying. We can't let, I remember Brother Joe when we first come over here that first Sunday in this building. Brother Joe and a bunch of us in the pasture, we got together here and prayed all night. We were afraid coming over here in this great big old building. I don't know how many of you men were involved in that tonight, but there's some people here that and prayed all night long. And God has blessed ever since. Then the Sunday morning, Saturday morning prayer meeting, and God is blessed. Let's don't take things for granted, folks. We've got to keep living right and got praying. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be? That ought to motivate us. Now, Muslims are praying people. Do you know that? They get on their little rugs and face towards Mecca. They're praying people. They pray. Catholics do. I remember when I was in the Army, we was out on a little island out in Long Island Sound, and it come a storm. We had to go by ferry boat. Come a storm one night. I wasn't on it that night. I'm glad. But some of the guys said it was going to almost turn over and everything, and the Catholics all got their beads out and went through all of them. Catholics are praying people, but many Bible-believing Baptists aren't. So, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, we need to be praying people. Charles Finney was a praying man, and oh, how God blessed his ministry. Jonathan Edwards was a praying man, and oh, how God blessed his ministry. And D.L. Moody was a praying man, and how God blessed his ministry. So we need to be praying people. God's going to bless our ministry. Okay, I got one more, and I'll quickly do that. We ought to be forgiving people. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Then Christ taught the disciples and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We're to forgive. When we forgive others, then God forgives us. For Matthew 6:14-15 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be? We ought to be saved people. We ought to be soul winners. We ought to be faithful people. We ought to be praying people. We ought to be forgiving people. Let's stand. Be dismissed with the word of prayer.